Jim McCormick, the ESPN fantasy analyst, somebody who we're going to have on every week, talk fantasy football. Good morning, Jimmy.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
All right. I want to start, for the benefit of everybody, with Thursday night's game. I just want to ask you, because, you know, you're already talking injuries here. We are into only week two. But give me your thoughts on Cam Newton. I mean, given what happened there, is there any circumstance in which you'll be looking to play Cam? And secondly, I mean, how much of an adverse impact is that going to have on Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah, I mean, it was ugly, right? That was one of the uglier football games you're ever going to see. Talk about a cage for Thursday Night Football. But look, Cam's not running, and he hasn't run. His rushing flattened out around week 10 last year when the shoulder was really a problem. And now it's gotten to the point where they're not running it at all, right? Like, look at all those short yardage, high leverage goal line opportunities they had throughout that game. Not just that last goal line stand, but the whole game. They do not leverage this guy the way they used to. And it's dangerous. And, like, we have to adjust to what we see, right? We can't constantly just look at the back of the card and expect Cam to be Cam, because he's not Cam right now. So he probably hasn't been Cam for almost a year since the shoulder. So I would fade him, honestly. I wouldn't trust him. Quarterback's too deep. I'd rather play guys like Kirk Cousins. And I'd even rather play, like, a Matt Stafford this week. I mean, I know you can't go back and play him, but I'm giving you an example of a guy who's widely available who I'd probably rather trust, because he's going to pass it 20 yards downfield. This guy won't.
Now, Jim, looking a little bit at the Sunday night game, Atlanta and Philadelphia, one of the things that I've been asking myself, literally for 2 years, because he's played three games in that time, is Devontae Freeman finished? He certainly looked like he didn't have anything to give against Minnesota. How should Devontae Freeman owners proceed? Should you hang in there, or should you be looking elsewhere for your RB2?
It's a really good question, right? Because it's like, we went into the season kind of valuing this idea. Like, look, they let Coleman go. They didn't reinvest. You know, Smith wasn't so special last year. So we looked at, like, Freeman as this, like, kind of... I think we valued the opportunity more than the player, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
We valued the idea of being the RB1 in Atlanta more than the player. And look, last year, he was really bad in certain metrics. I know he was hurt, but he was really bad in yards after carry per run. And that's what he used to be good at, was making guys miss. I agree with you. I'd be hesitant. I think running back is still so thin that you're going to play him this week in a game with a 50-point total. At the same time, we've given Cam 2 weeks to see who he is. Now we kind of know a little bit more. I would be hesitant. Put it this way. I'd be fine trading away Freeman if someone in your league is running back hungry and would give you like a real wide receiver two for him.
About that. I will stay on the injury theme here. Jim McCormick from ESPN. And by the way, if you want to sneak a call in here, maybe, Joey, we could do it. 610-632-0975 if you want to get some McCormick expertise here for any week two fantasy decisions that you're making. All right, give me your thoughts, Jim, on the Todd Gurley experience. I mean, here we are now. You had 15 touches roughly last week. My theory, Jim, is that that's going to be it for the entire season. They're going to pitch count this guy. And how are you ranking Todd Gurley this week?
Yeah, well, I still have Gurley in a good position because, again, that point total in that game, Saints have actually been somewhat solid against the run the last couple of years. So it's not exactly the same soft matchup, but I think the thing with him is that he doesn't come off the field for the passing downs. Malcolm Brown isn't getting any equity there. So if you're in a PPR league, Todd Gurley's still probably a borderline RB1. Because listen, those two touchdowns that Brown got, they didn't seem as much to me watching the games again. I watched them on Game Pass. I thought it was more situational that he went in. It wasn't like, meaning like circumstantial. I think it was like he's definitely the goal line guy. I think Gurley will get some touchdowns, but I do agree with you, Pat. You're not going to see this 25-touch, 3-touchdown thing, right? This guy had 20 touchdowns per year, basically, the last 2 years. He's an RB. He's an RB1, but he's kind of been that joke, that borderline, do I trust you as a true weekly guy thing. But I still trust him, honestly, to myself. I still think he looked good on tape last week, but I don't trust that he's the same Todd Gurley anymore.
Jim, last week, we were speaking with Jim McCormick, the ESPN fantasy analyst. I let you in on my Josh Gordon addiction and how I can't quit Josh Gordon. The other one that I can't quit is Jordan Reed, no matter how much detail there is. I'm torn now at looking at tight end. I did pick up Waller last week after the Antonio Brown debacle, so I'm anticipating starting him. But is Vernon Davis worth a look? I'm scared off just because all of that production kind of came on one busted play. But is he an option for people who would be looking at starting Jordan Reed this week?
Yeah, I mean, look how ugly. We just talked about Cam. Let's talk about, you know, O.J. Howard's been a flatliner. Now, you played him this week, but my point is Hunter Henry's hurt. You know, it's already an ugly position, right? It gets shallow so quickly. I think Waller, obviously, in your position is great because, like, just to, not to ramp on him, but he played all 55 offensive snaps, and he had 30% of their passing volume. There's no one there after the Antonio Brown thing. As, you know, per Davis, you know, we saw that game. That was just kind of like push the guy out of bounds and he doesn't have a good fantasy day. But look, he has had, when he started and played the read, he's averaged, you know, 45, 50 yards, which is kind of what we're looking for as our streaming tight end. They said there was some optimism about Reed, but obviously now it doesn't look good because he wasn't practicing. So I can't quit Jordan Reed either in some ways, but I think at this point you have to at least understand that, you know, if he does get hurt again, he might never play again.
I'm talking to Joe Torti here. If you're hooked on Jordan Reed, you have the same injury problem as Jordan Reed.
No, okay? I'm not.
That's all I can tell you. I mean, you got
this
crazy.
Year, he's interesting. He was interesting this year, but again, he's more of a theory player than an actual player,
yeah,
right?
Like, yeah, that's a shame. It's a shame, Jim. But he's Jordan Reed should retire. I mean, that's
absolutely,
true.
Especially after you hear what Gronk just said about 20 concussions. I just mean in terms of this guy's had 7 to 10 documented concussions. So let's move on, right? Like, meaning as a player, let's just all. Make sure Jordan Reed can, like, take care of
himself. Let's move on from this. I mean, let me ask you one more thing, Jim. Are you drinking the Dak Prescott Kool-Aid after a very impressive week one against the Giants? Is this guy a solid QB1 to you right now?
Hey, not only is he a great QB1, look at the schedule coming up, but also what's impressive is Kellen Moore, this 31-year-old, you know, whatever he wasn't as a quarterback, he definitely has some upside, I think, as an offensive coordinator. They were one of the top teams in play action last week, one of the top teams in pre-snap motion. Kind of all these, like, analytically friendly things. They were passing on first down. I think it's a very good sign for Zeke once he's, like, fully the guy, which is now. Meaning this guy had 70-plus catches last year. If they're passing on first down, we're talking about a 95-9, like a Christian McCaffrey-type receiving usage for Zeke. So I love the whole situation. I love Dak. And more importantly, I just think Kellen Moore is not Jason Garrett, which is probably the best thing you can say.
All right, Jim, how do people follow you? Are you a Twitter guy, a Facebook? How would somebody come after and find out what Jim McCormick's talking about?
Sure, yeah, @_ Jimmy McCormick on Twitter, and then every week I do IDP rankings. I do a streaming article for ESPN to help you kind of pick guys who should be available in most of your leagues. This week, you know, like Derek Carr, for example, if you're struggling at quarterback, that's a 53 or whatever. That's the highest point total of the year. So you know, it's always helpful to look for guys that you know, might help you in a pinch.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.